Hello and welcome back to the Courage Within podcast with your host, Libier. In this week's podcast, I want to dive into the topic of how to make your life better and how to deepen your faith in God. I know for me, my life has gotten better the moment that I have accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. My life has gotten better in regards to so many aspects when I have given over to the faith of Christ in my life. That has been absolutely the most pivotal moment of my life was when I gave my life to Jesus. In that way, I believe God has the power, right? Like, we have this beautiful life that is very fleeting. I just had a really good friend lose one of their family members this week, and it reminded me that our life is so fleeting that any moment anyone could call and say your loved one is gone, or you could be gone, or I could be gone. Our life is not a guarantee, and tomorrow is not a guarantee. Today is, however, right? We're living in today. If you're listening to this podcast, if you're watching this podcast, you're alive and you're breathing. But sometimes our lives are anything but things we love to talk about or things that we are excited about. Most of us have grown up thinking that when we get to a certain level, when we get to a certain point, then we're going to feel fill in the blank, whether it's successful, important, good enough. I don't know for you what those things and lies were or are that you think maybe once I reach that, then I will finally feel dot, dot, dot. I don't know what that is for you, but I know what they were for me. There were milestones and things that I thought that I needed to attain in order to feel worthy of love and connection, to feel important, to feel successful, to feel like I belonged. I, for a long time, didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. And my life got better the moment that I knew that I didn't have to pursue a goal in order to feel worth. When I realized that Jesus Christ paid it all on the cross for me so that I could live a life of freedom, oh my gosh, my life and the trajectory of how I lived my life was opened to this new, beautiful invitation to just be, to just live authentically as myself. And yeah, there are days where I still, you know, subscribe myself to that, oh, I need to go here or get that or do this, because I'm a human being. And I think for the most part of our life here on earth, until we go to heaven, we are going to be itchy for heaven. We were made with a hollow part of our heart for Jesus, and we were made to yearn for heaven. So we're always going to be a little dissatisfied with this life and this earth. So when I kind of made myself this like invitation of like, okay, Libier, one, you don't have to now search for yourself outside of yourself. You can have your worth and your value inside of you, and nothing can take it away from you. And you have abundance and love that Christ gives you that nothing can take away and that nothing could add. I can't add to my worth, right? I can't make myself more pleasing to God because it's not because of me that He loves me and has a relationship with me, is because of His Son's sacrifice and the righteousness that Christ paid on the cross for me and you is how God sees us. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, He is the transaction. He reconciles us to a holy God where we could have never, ever, ever performed in a way that made us good enough to be in front of this holy God, right? But Jesus on earth lived a perfect life for you and for me. He died a death He didn't deserve. He was pinned on the cross for your sin and for mine. And mine is greater, okay? If I could tell you all of the things that I have done, all the things that I am ashamed about, all the things that are my shame real. You know, I wrote a book called Through the Wilderness, and it's available on Amazon. It is my memoir of how Jesus got a hold of me, and it pretty much is my shame real. It really highlights the shame that I used to feel boggled down by, and I had to learn and unlearn some things of how, you know, when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, He made me a new creation and I was able to rise with Him. I died to my old self and I was risen as a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the old one was gone and the new one had come. And that was so exciting to me, because in order to make my life better, I had to know that all of the things that I did in the past were forgiven and were not remembered. God says that he does not even remember our sin. In Hebrews 8:12, it says, "For I will forgive their iniquities and I will remember their sins no more." Oh my gosh, can you imagine that? God remembers your sin no more. Nothing of what you've done could ever disqualify you from the love of Christ. Christ has unconditional love for you and me. And no matter what you have done or what has been done to you, you deserve a life that is new, that has purpose. Your deepening your faith with God will deepen your desire to design a life that is worth living. And that's what I've had this beautiful journey since I accepted Jesus, to say, what do I want my life to look like? If I could design my, you know, quote unquote, perfect life on earth, which life cannot be perfect, right? On earth, like, we're going to have trouble. The Bible says you will have trouble, but take heart, in me is your peace. And Jesus is the peace, right? In me, he means in Jesus is the peace, and I have overcome the world. John 16:33 says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." This is such a blessing, right? It's an invitation to know that the state of your life is always going to feel like there's something missing, right? And I feel like that was such a eye-opener for me. It was I could just vividly remember the time where I just felt this, like, freedom to feel like, you know what, Livier, your life will never feel like you're enough or like it's enough. One of my biggest prayers is, God, help me to have contentment. Help me to see that I'm enough and that you're enough and that what I'm experiencing is enough today, rather than seeking for a future to fill me or to make me feel worthy of love or valuable or important, right? When I partnered with the fact that my life is just always going to feel a little off and that's okay, I feel like I felt so much better. It was like I gave up on this illusion of perfection. I gave up on, oh, by the way, just FYI, I'm creating a course, an online course right now that is going to be available very soon for you to go through if you are a recovering perfectionist or if you are struggling with perfectionism and you want to break free from that. It is coming soon. It's so good. I'm so excited. I cannot wait for it to be out in the marketplace, because I know that God is going to transform so many lives with it. But that is one thing that I had to learn, is like, I was a perfectionist and I always mirrored like what I wanted from my life to the outside of my life. Like in my head, I thought everything needed to be perfect in order for me to finally feel successful. So if my house wasn't perfect, then I was a mess. If my nails weren't perfect, I was a mess. If my outfit wasn't perfect, I was a mess. If my kids weren't perfect outside and they were embarrassing me, I was a mess. Like if my husband wasn't treating me perfectly, like I'm a mess. Like, you know, all of these things have this correlation of like, what expectation do I have of myself, of others that I'm in relationship with, and of this world? And if my illusion of perfection and illusion of control are muddying the reality of my life, I'm never going to be okay with my life just being this ordinary moment of, you know, it could be this mundane thing, but it is extraordinary when you look at it through the scope of Christ. Like, he gave you your life that you're living right now, and it's a gift. It's a pure gift from Jesus, right? The fact that you're living is a gift, and you're on earth for a purpose and a reason. And God made you specifically. He made you with all the gifts and talents and abilities that you have. He made you in the way that you are, the way that you look, all the features that you carry. Those are by design. Those have been designed by the creator of the universe. His very thumbprint is on your heart. He loves you. He understands how many hairs are on your head. Like he knows how many hairs are on your head. Can you imagine that kind of love to know? And he knows when you get up, when you sit down, when you go here, before you say a word, he knows what you're going to say. Before you even proclaim the things that you are hurting and hurt over, he understands. He is your partner in life. He desires to be your Abba, your father, your provider. In order for us to be able to openly see God and deepen our faith with Him, we have to come to a point where we kind of humbly say, okay, Lord, I'm going to lose myself in order to gain. I'm going to lose myself, my desires, my flesh. I'm going to maybe lay down all of those expectations that I have of myself and of others and of life. I'm going to lay them down at your feet, because all the disappointments I've had in my life that have made my life feel not good, when I have had so many disappointments in my life of things that either I didn't work out the way that I thought they would, or I didn't get the job, or I didn't get the brand deal, or I didn't get the book publisher that I've been praying for and waiting for, you know, for so long. Like all of these things, like in my head, I'm like, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? I felt like you were going to do this according to what you promised me, what I felt that you had promised me. It doesn't look like it's supposed to look like. And there's great disappointment that comes with life, doesn't it? We get disappointed, but it is probably because of our expectation of how it should have turned out, right? And if you sit and think about it, God knows best and His timing is perfect. So when you and I are sitting here wondering and doubt and fear if we are doing the right thing or not, God is already going before us in all situations. God's already preparing for us a way. And the Bible says, like, think about God, like put your trust in God. And there's a verse in the Bible that I've been clinging to right now so heavily, as out of 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 through 10. And it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" See? "So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I just want to be really honest and vulnerable with you right now. For the past couple weeks, I haven't posted a podcast because I've been going through a lot of pain. I received an anonymous letter, and it was hate mail that took me down, to be honest with you. I'm having a hard time saying this because I don't want to feel weak, and I don't want to feel, I just feel humbled. You know, I feel humbled by the situation because I feel like I'm the type of person who loves Jesus. I mean, I love Jesus so much, and I would say my faith is strong, but in this moment, I feel a little weak, to be truly honest with you. And the letter made me question everything about myself, about our family. It had some incredible lies about my husband, and it had some really painful information about me. It had some really mean things to say about me. And I had to sit with that letter and say, Lord, first of all, I prayed for the person that sent it to me, because the word says that we should pray for those who persecute us. And in this passage, it also says, you know, for the sake of Christ, then I am content in weakness, insults, hardships, persecution, and calamities. And we say those things so effortlessly, right? When we're reading God's word, or when we're worshiping God, and we're just like, yes, Lord, I give you my all and I'll worship you no matter what. And then we get those persecutions coming our way. Then we get the calamity. Then we get that bad report, or that betrayal of a friend. We get that diagnosis that rocks us to the moon, and we get, you know, so discouraged with so many different life events. I can't even begin to imagine what y'all are going through, or what y'all have faced in your past of disappointment after disappointment after disappointment in your life. I know for me in my life what has disappointed me, and I know what has come to kill my joy. And I will tell you what, sometimes it almost feels like, okay, yeah, that's enough. Like I can't do this anymore. I'm done. Like I can't continue to have faith in moments when I feel so weak. And I'll say something right now that I feel is super important, because I don't ever want you to look at me as a person who has it all together, or, you know, if she has a podcast, she must be so strong. Whew, no, it's the opposite of that. I am so weak that I need to hear this message more than you. I will take ownership of my weaknesses and say, yeah, there's a lot in me that I don't like. There's a lot in me that I wish wasn't there. And that's why I do what I do, because I believe that we as Christians need to show the world that it's not by the things that we do and the merit and like, oh, look at me, I'm a good Christian. No, I love Jesus, but I am destroyed at times. I am hopeless at times. Even though I have hope, I feel hopeless at times. And not to say that my hope doesn't carry me through. Of course it carries me through, because it's the power of God. And He never lets go. He never lets go of us when we are weak. We feel weak and we feel vulnerable. And when bad things come our way, we often think, ah, why me? I was walking, you know, in step with you, Lord. I was doing things with you and for you. Why me? And the answer I feel like God continues to tell me is, Livier, you can show what I can do through your weakness. You can be vulnerable and say, this hurt. That letter, when it came, I wanted to be like, oh no, it's fine. It's fine. I'm good. Like, it didn't affect me. But the fact is that it really affected me. It shocked me to my core. It shocked me in a way that I have not been shocked ever. And it made me feel so little and so weak and so vulnerable and so ashamed of, like, oh man, what has my life come to, you know? And if you're there, and if you're in a season where that's where you feel you're at, I understand you, maybe not completely, but I get you. I get it. It feels awful to feel persecuted and hated, and someone trying to do something to you that is mean or hostile or awful. The one thing that I felt like the Lord kept reminding me of is that His love is greater and His power is so much stronger than my weakness, especially in my weakness. And I met Jesus in a way that I hadn't. The past couple of weeks, I have been bawling to the Lord, just like in humility, just asking Him, Lord, give me your wisdom, give me your insight, give me the capacity to respond to this in a manner that glorifies you. Help me to turn inward and ask myself, what are the things that you're teaching me in this? You know, lies could come to us and we could be like, either partner with Him or partner with the Word of God. And I continued to open up my Bible each day, and I was a student of God's Word even more so. And I was like a sponge to the Lord, because I wanted to be healed and I wanted to feel personal power and agency over my situation and over I wanted to feel personal power and agency through this experience, and I wanted to get the most of what God wanted to gift me. And lo and behold, I started to see this as an opportunity to praise God for the letter. I started to say, thank you, God, for this letter. Thank you that it's opening my eyes to other things that you wanted to heal. Thank you, Lord, for this person sending this letter, because it gave me the opportunity to sit at your feet and to get more healing that I would have not gotten if it weren't sent to me. The weapon was formed, but it did not prosper. I want you to know that anything in your life that you're facing, that you're feeling weak or powerless or vulnerable or scared or have doubt, I want you to test God. Like, seek His wisdom. Seek His wisdom. Ask Him, reveal yourself to me. Manifest yourself to me. God is the God of manifesting. He manifests Himself to us in different ways. If you ask God, you're going to hear from God. If you pray to God in faith, you're going to hear a response, because He is a living, living, powerful God who is so kind that, okay, when I got the letter, I knelt down, maybe not right away. It was like 5 minutes after I read it, I was a little angry and heated. And then I went on my knees and I prayed. I prayed first for the person that sent it, because for them to send such hurt, it must mean that they're hurting. So I prayed for them first and foremost, because I know all of us are hurting in some way. So I prayed for them. Then I asked God to give me wisdom to know what to do with the situation. And the thing that popped in my head was to lean not on my own understanding. And the verse that popped into my mind as I was praying, and the prayer that I prayed, was out of Proverbs 3:5-6. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight." And I prayed that. And then the next day when I text one of my really good friends to pray for me, she texted me that verse without even knowing that that is what God had put in my mind to pray. Listen, we have power with our tongue. There is power in us speaking God's word over our situation. Then after I got the letter, I got two pieces of mail the next day of something so random. I got a $40 Amazon gift card, and I got Terry Savelle Foy's little booklet that says, "God sees you as valuable." And I was like, "God, you are so good. You are so good." And not only that, but then I opened my Bible and I was in Ezekiel 37:3. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I answered, "Oh Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy over these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause you breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and you will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.'" Listen, to me, that was the message of Libyaire, get up and speak life over your dry bones. Speak life over your dry relationship. Speak life over the doubt and the worry and the fear that you have over this letter and how it's affecting you. Speak life. And that's what I did. I started to speak life in my mirror every time that I woke up in the morning. I would be weeping, but I would be speaking life to myself, because that, my friend, is the way that we fight the war of discouragement in our lives. And when you are faced with uphill battles and with tribulation and with calamity and with persecution and with people being mean to you and hateful to you, people betraying you, people turning their backs on you, you being alone, the thing that will transform and make your life better and deepen your relationship with God, it will be you speaking life over yourself and you speaking the word of God over your life. That will be transformative more than anything that you could possibly do. What truly, truly makes the life better is knowing who you are in Jesus. He sees you as beloved. He sees you as enough. He sees you as important. He sees you as his child that he wants to hold in the hollow of his hands. He wants to prosper you. He wants to give you a future with hope. He wants to be your living water. He wants you to wake up in the morning knowing that you have a dad that is in heaven cheering you on. And he wants you to know and be certain and have security in here. Have security inside of your soul. Have security within your walls, within yourself. Feel safe that you are safe to be all of you. And you are loved unconditionally. I pray that this podcast helped you. If it did, please send it to a friend that might be encouraged by it. Leave us a review on anywhere where you listen to your podcast or YouTube on a comment. It would be amazing to be able to reach more people this way, because your voice matters. Okay. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm truly, truly, truly honored that you're here, and I thank you for your time. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are the giver of life, not just life that we're just living, but incredible life that is worth living. God, thank you that you are our living water and that you give us everything that we need. God, help us to not seek ourselves outside of ourselves. Help us to prophesy good things over ourselves, God, and to learn how to speak your word out of our mouth so that we could encourage our own souls, God. Thank you so much for the work that you already started in us and that you're going to complete it. And it's going to look beautiful, God. Thank you that every hardship that comes our way is an opportunity for growth, an opportunity for you to help us to see you better. Thank you, God, for this listener, my friend. And I pray, God, that you would enable them to see you and see themselves the way you see them, God, that they would dwell in your everlasting love and that they would feel safety inside of their soul. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. All right, friends, thank you so much for listening. I will catch you in the next episode. Adios.